Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
New president.
We have to get back to a great country.
And new news.
When it's new.
I hear it on the sky first.
This year, open up your shiny brand news day.
We made history for a reason.
News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Yeah, Friday. Welcome, Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy, 608 time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Nah. 3-day weekend? Not for us. Happy, happy weekend. Here we are. It is the Friday edition of the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. Yeah, baby. Finally, NFL playoffs. Playoffs? This weekend. One of the main things that's going on. Then there's a little get-together on Monday. You got Martin Luther King Jr. How sad is it? Like, DEI ran roughshod over all the principles that Martin Luther King Jr. Presented to us so eloquently so long ago that made perfect sense.
How about the irony that a lot of folks in government who run government, who are the ones who actually were raised and lived in that era, are the same ones who actually take off on his birthday but don't really agree with anything he said?
Yeah.
Isn't there some irony in that?
There is. And you know what? There's probably a lot of people that do agree with what he said, even so-called folks that vote Democrat. Mm-hmm. But your Democrat Party has... has been hard for DEI and all that. Oh. We're really reversing all that. But we've got plenty to talk about. Oh, by the way, so Martin Luther King Jr. Monday, but it's also Inauguration Day for Trump. So it's a big day on a lot of levels. And you actually have a student holiday teacher work day today for the Alachua County Schools, with the exception of Rawlings Elementary. But Monday, I believe, everywhere schools are. It's a federal holiday. So, yeah, everybody's off on Monday, except for us.
We'll be here.
Greg and I are going to be. It's this unbelievable work ethic that, and the slight guilt of taking a lot of time over the holiday.
Well, we did do that.
But, so we'll be here. And
I
kept checking emails. I checked the snail mail, and no invite for us, Greg. The Bob Rose Show, you'd think, would be broadcasting live on Monday. Inauguration Day from D.C., Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean,
I don't know.
We could have got us a little uplink. Elon probably would have hooked us up.
Oh, you think so?
I would think.
Yeah.
And, but no.
But nothing.
Not hadn't, and maybe we missed it that way.
So you're saying you checked your email?
Well, actually, I was praying to God, and that's called knee mail.
Wow.
Get it?
Wow.
Half my material comes from stolen property off of church signs. Yeah, that's right.
That's Friday.
Hey, Kid Rock was funny last night. He was on with Jesse Waters.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught this.
I missed it.
So he's on, and he's got his Detroit Lions stuff on,
of course he does.
Detroit guy. And he wasn't trying, I don't think he was trying to be rude, but he was asked about First Lady Michelle Obama. Now Kid Rock's going to be there for the inauguration.
Yes.
And Jesse Waters said, is it your first inauguration? And he said, well, no, actually it's not. I was asked to perform when Barack Obama. He says, I didn't vote for him. But it's the office of the president.
Right.
I felt honored. And so, 2009, when Barack Obama was sworn into office, he was there.
Interesting.
And he said, I would kindly remind her, when they were referring to Michelle Obama, because she's not going to be there.
Uh-huh.
I would kindly remind her that years back when Obama was first elected, I did not vote for him, but they asked me to play the inauguration, and I played it. And I went. Okay. And I had a good time. But I went out of respect for the president.
Ooh.
So I would kindly remind Michelle about that. And it's like, pow.
Well, she missed Carter's funeral.
Yes.
Now she's missing the inauguration. Michael.
Well, look, if you're going to be involved in the political world, that's part of something you buy into. When
right.
your husband reaches the highest office in the land, there's a certain amount of dignity and honor that kind of goes with that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to an inauguration, you're not anointing or honoring this Donald Trump guy that you don't like.
Right.
What you're doing is you're saying, here's the peaceful transfer of power in a nation where, you know, we vote and elect our leaders, and we can shake hands at the end of the day, and the American people continue to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you want to do, and it shows our enemies, hey, these people, you know, it's like a family. Yeah, they got a dysfunctional family. I saw the two little brothers beating the crap out of each other.
Uh-huh.
But if you step on one of their feet and trip uh-huh. them, you better believe the other brother is going to be
on you.
Talking about it real
yep.
quick. With
uh-huh.
So that's what we tell our enemies. Hey, yeah, we fight all day and all night, and we've been more divided now than ever before, but at the end of the day, our nation will remain strong.
Right.
We will be protected, and we will act accordingly if people try to take advantage of us. So, yeah, look, you're a grown woman. You can do whatever you want. But are you gonna make money off of, you know, speaking engagements, writing books,
oh,
things
yeah.
associated? And the only reason there was any interest in it is because of the office that your husband attained.
Mm.
With that also comes some duties and responsibilities. You don't have to follow through with them, but it speaks a lot more about her than it does anything about Donald Trump.
Her character, yes.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And what should we do as Monday's Martin Luther King Jr. Day? We should judge each other by the content of our character and not by the color of our skin. I mean, you're black and he's orange, but come on, you gotta learn to get along.
Come on,
it's Friday.
It's just color, you know. Come on,
you know, so many people killed, what they said, death toll 27, wildfires, Southern mm-hmm. California, awful, right? There's a lot of stories that go along with that, a lot of loss. But somebody who's really probably hurting pretty bad now, and you got a feel for them. Apparently, there was very, very valuable artwork that was destroyed. I'll explain.
Oh.
Coming up. Tongue in cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hang in there, my friends. Happy Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show, which is available on podcast wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click subscribe. 97.3 The Sky. Happy, happy Friday.
Afternoons at 3.
For anybody that has ever wanted limited government, this is probably the only opportunity that we will have.
Sean Hannity.
To get rid of waste and fraud and abuse, as long as Republican lawmakers go along.
On 97.3 The Sky.
Another awesome day. And a really awesome day because we call it Friday. For some people, three-day weekend, not us. We'll be here Monday morning live at 6. But everybody else, enjoy. It is 6:20, your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball, died, 90 years old. If you don't know who he is, well, if you're not a sports fan, you might not know who he is, or if you're really young. But Bob Uecker played professional baseball, and then he was an announcer for years. But really, his biggest claim to fame that gave him the most exposure was doing these Bud Light. Light for Miller. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Miller Light. And he did the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like he just had this cool way about him, like this happy
yes.
guy who was sort of blissfully ignorant to what was really going on. You know, he goes,
uh-huh.
yeah, part of the perks of being a big league guy is, you know, I get tickets to the games, you know. And as soon as some of the fans around me figure out who I am, they'll probably be buying me some Miller Lights, too, you know.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as he sits down, the guy working the aisle or whatever comes right over and goes, hey, pal, you're in the wrong seat. You know? And he doesn't skip a beat. Big
no.
smile on his face. He goes, I must be in the front row. And that was like part of his
uh-huh.
shtick. You
that
know,
funny.
Well, I must be in the front row. And then the commercial at the very end, it's him, you know, hey, he didn't even catch the ball. Hey, how about these seats, buddy? Like, he was positive, even though he was way up in the nosebleed seats. So
they were good.
He did have this great personality way about him and became a persona via that. And appearances even like on Johnny Carson. In fact, I don't know how factual it is. Some people give Johnny Carson credit for kind of giving him the nickname Mr. Baseball.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So Bob Uecker passed away. Rest in peace, the age of 90. Athletes who can kind of do some self-deprecating kind of humor and have a good time with life, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Absolutely. So, yeah, I think he was, I don't know him personally. He could. I got to be careful because I'll talk about someone like who was it, Peter, Paul, and Mary, right. One of the guys died recently. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I get like a text or an email or something. Go, that guy was a child molester. I'm like, what? Like, what? And I mean, because you're going back to whatever it had. I don't know, the 1960s or early 70s. Yeah.
Or didn't know.
And it's not, you know, it's not included in this quick little bio.
Of
you know?
Course not.
Rest in peace. And
yeah, rest in peace. He was a child molester.
So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm like most people. I only see and stuff what in other words, you don't really know the people. Sometimes when you know them, you don't really know them.
No,
you know,
that's true too.
Bob Uecker, longtime Brewers broadcaster, and he had such a great wit about him.
Yeah.
But let's see, he was he had a 6-year Major League Baseball career as a catcher. He once held the dubious distinction of leading the majors in passed balls. In other words, ones that got by him. And so that's what kind of he could joke about that, you know, and that stretched into a fantastic career for him as an announcer and then doing all those spots. And yeah, he was on the Johnny Carson show. Yeah, in fact, it's listed here that Carson gets credit for giving him the nickname Mr. Baseball. But let me give you a quick bio. After enlisting in the Army at age 20, Uecker told the military he played for the Marquette University baseball team to get assigned to play baseball for the military. An assignment to a sports team would keep Uecker stateside. The Army agreed and kept the future MLB player and broadcaster in the U.S. to play baseball. At no point did the Army do its homework to find out that Uecker didn't even graduate high school.
Wow.
Much less attend Marquette.
Wow.
He made it up. And to make it worse, Marquette didn't have a baseball team.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Definitely a basketball school for sure. Uecker worked solo as a broadcaster and alleviated the suffering of Brewers fans who for many years had to endure watching a team that was not very good. They had some good years, though. And Uecker got better as an announcer to kind of match the play of the team. In 2003, his prowess earned him the prestigious Ford Frick Award. And his speech at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown that year was fantastic. So, anyway, he loved the game. He made a living playing it. Been broadcasting about it.
And he was a St. Louis Cardinal, I might add. Just tossed that a little bit in there.
For how long of his career? For the 6 years?
I don't know. It was back in the mid-60s. I don't know how long he was there, but he was.
You had to throw that in there, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, not forever, because he did go to the Braves. It went to the Braves after that.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. But you had to show me that he...
Because it is the show me state, and that's
I think everybody gets that. Not
everybody would know that, but that's what it's called, the show me state.
Hey, Trump is kind of put together a team to deal with the commies in Hollywood. Is this kind of like a Joe McCarthy thing recycled?
Sounds familiar.
President-elect Donald Trump wants to make Hollywood great again and has named some of the entertainment industry veterans. John Voight. Matt, did he make the best volleyballs ever? Mel Gibson and his guitars.
Uh-huh.
And Sylvester Stallone.
And?
Putty Cat.
Oh.
Wasn't that Sylvester a cat? Huh?
I know what you're talking about, yes.
Suffer and Succotash. Wasn't that a cat? Was that Sylvester? Come on. Anyway, you were asking me about what? You said something after I said Mel Gibson.
I don't know.
Oh, did I forget somebody?
No.
Okay.
That was it.
So that's the team. John Voight, Mel Gibson, Sylvester Stallone. They're going to be special envoys to carry out a pretty tough task. Yep. It's my honor to announce, et cetera, these ambassadors to a great but very troubled place, Hollywood, California. He said they will serve as special envoys for me for the purpose of bringing Hollywood, which has lost much of its business over the last 4 years, to foreign countries, back bigger, better, stronger than ever before.
Wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
They're going to rebuild it. Steve Austin. Be stronger. Faster. But that's what a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hollywood's golden era where, you know, Jimmy Stewart would say, got to go. Uh-huh. Got to go fight for my country.
Yep.
And was good at that, too. Yeah, and now most of them are just a bunch of whining, lefty, crybaby.
Yeah.
Witches.
Sadly so.
All right. Oh, I know what we didn't get to. Ashley Moody is now going to be Senator Moody. And we were fortunate to get to meet and greet and talk to her a couple times. And so we're going to talk about that. And Emery Ganey, coming up at 8:05, the former sheriff, went to Washington to say nice things about Pam Bondi. Right on. Talk about that and more coming up on the Friday edition of the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 628, 97.3 The Sky.
Inauguration Day.
He made history.
Trump.
On day one, I will terminate every single open border policy.
A historic new America.
Drill, baby, drill.
Happens on the sky.
And we will immediately begin a brand new Trump economic boom.
A new way.
Great country with low taxes and strong military.
This.
We have a window of opportunity.
Is.
And we've got to be ready to govern.
It.
And we've got to be ready to lead.
News Talk 97.3.
We're going to turn this country around so fast.
The sky.
The sky.
Clarity.
We have to follow the facts where it may lead.
Credibility.
News of the day.
What we want is the facts.
And conversation.
What everyone should be talking about, what you're talking about.
Hear about it first.
We made history.
Talk about it now. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Happy Friday weekend here. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here as well. It is 6:38. Good morning. Plenty to talk about and lots of things going on.
Oh, man.
I mean, Florida, what are we doing? We're just growing great Americans. We're growing great patriots. We got a great governor.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a great congresswoman, Kat Kamick, that we're able to connect with on a regular basis. We had a great attorney general. Pam Bondi's now going to be a great attorney general for the nation.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And another great Attorney General for the state of Florida, Ashley Moody, is now going to be, at least for the interim, Senator Ashley Moody. And
that's cool.
Yeah. She said, I'm ready to deliver on Trump's America First agenda on day one. And when she was asked about it, you know, hey, because, you know, somebody tells you you're going to be a senator, that's a pretty big deal. And this is what she said.
We gave Governor DeSantis a hard time this morning when the announcement was made. They asked, how much notice did you give her? And he said, well, I told her last night.
Wow. Hey, you're going to be a senator.
Well, you can't say, yeah, we know how you women like to talk, because that would be this huge sexist thing that you just can't do. But I just did it.
You did.
And then she really does bring a lot of experience to this job. This is going to be good.
I may be the first or the only senator currently that has served in the judicial branch, understands the need for judges that rule based on the law, not what they want the law to be or wish the law was.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I will not let my country down. And she said, I want you to know, I won't let you down. I will not let down the citizens of Florida and my country. And she said, just 6 years ago, I met this very eager, passionate guy who wanted to be the governor of Florida and said, if we go in there and we implement conservative policy, if we scale back, if we make sure we return this to a limited government, we will prosper. And look what Florida has done since. So, you know, DeSantis chose her, but she turned right around and gave him high praise as well. Nice. And I just, I know she's going to do a great job. So it's a great opportunity for her.
And we'll have to keep up with her. Of course, she's been on the show a couple of times.
Yep.
She actually, we brought her in as the main speaker for our Valor event for law enforcement last year, and she did an amazing job. But as the state's top cop, we thought she was a perfect fit, and she really enjoyed it. So,
yeah, cool. And her husband's in law enforcement, too. Yep. So she just...
She knows.
Yeah. It's a good deal for America.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know some people are burned out, pun intended, by talking about the fires in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't help it that so many stories emanate from it. I mean, some are good. You know, you had Jay Leno out there feeding the folks.
Yes, feeding firemen.
Yeah. Another movie star that showed up, and he hasn't been around in a while. And his name escapes me right now. Who are we talking about? Demi Moore's ex-husband, Die Hard.
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Which... You know, he's got some kind of debilitating disease. So, even he made an appearance to, like, you know, help the spirit of the folks that are all pitching in. So I think it's great. But, man, we can't forget that, you know, when lives are lost, that supersedes everything. And so far, I think 27 lives have been lost due to this fire. But people have also lost, you know, their homes, their memories. Some don't have insurance. But, oh my gosh, can you imagine getting millions of dollars worth of valuable artwork destroyed? You've got to feel absolutely terrible for Hunter Biden.
Excuse me? See, what you're talking, I'm thinking like Monet or something, and then you go down the Hunter Biden road.
Nearly 200 of Hunter Biden's art pieces, some of which were priced as high as $500,000, were destroyed in that raging fire, according to the New York Post. The trove of artworks by the first son were reportedly in storage near the Pacific Palisades residence of his attorney, Kevin Morris, and were valued at, quote unquote, millions of dollars.
Says who?
You know,
the
paintings no longer are attached to the possibility of influence.
Right.
So they are what they are.
Yeah.
Millions? Now you have to wonder.
Give you $1.75 for all of them.
You have to wonder. I wonder if they were insured.
Oh.
I mean, you know that once Biden's out of office, or even, you know, it's too late to get influence peddling
deals going
down. Oh,
the gravy train is over.
Yeah. Correct. So what is what really is the value of those? Can you imagine if you're the insurance folks and you're on the hook for this?
And
I don't know how that works in terms of, you know, artwork can go up and down, and there's different things that can cause the values
to fluctuate. You can always do an agreed value kind of policy too.
Yeah,
like you do a classic car, you know.
Right.
So
and you pay based on that.
Yes,
like
right.
If you want millions of dollars of coverage,
you're
going to pay a much larger thing. But yeah,
that's interesting.
It does make you wonder. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, not that Hunter would ever be associated with anything of a fraudulent nature, right?
But it could have been convenient. Just saying, he likes convenience.
His attorney Kevin Morris, who took control of Hunter's 10% stake in the Chinese state-backed fund BHR Partners, also paid his IRS debts and reportedly lent him a total of $4.9 million for housing, car payments, and legal fees.
That's a good friend.
That is a really good friend. Wow. Well, the Hollywood lawyer has also been financing a documentary on Hunter.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. He's all in, isn't he?
Yeah. He should be all in.
Yeah.
Therapy. Mm. 6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The Bob Rose Show podcast is available, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. You can download it wherever you normally download podcasts or on the Audacy app, AUDACY. It's Friday. It's going to be a three-day weekend for a lot of folks. Enjoy, enjoy. But we've got plenty more to talk about coming up on 97.3 The Sky.
Look, I'm not a blind tribalist. I am a practical Machiavellian.
Now, 10 p.m. nights.
That's how I would describe my politics. A practical Machiavellian who wants to be left TF alone.
On 97.3, The Sky.
Oh, life's been good so far. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Friday. Of course, Monday is a holiday for most people. We'll be here, though, live, 6 to 10 a.m. But many folks are off because Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and some of the same people get a day off that promote DEI, which is in exact opposition.
It's ironic.
Of the things that Martin Luther King Jr. Tried to help us with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's judge each other by the content of our character, not by the color of our skin. Emphasis added by me. All righty, then. Hey, ESPN, yeah, they blew it. ESPN VP admits that, yeah, they made a little mistake.
Uh-oh.
They didn't air the national anthem at the Sugar Bowl. Now, remember why that would be a little more critical than normally. You should air that. You should air it all the time.
Yes. It's tradition.
It is. It's traditional, and it's America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's commonly understood that moments where there's some great kind of a national tragedy or a crisis, that really, there's many reasons for it to be front and center at that point, and that patriotic anthems and symbols would be giving, a little more of a highlight maybe than normally during sports broadcast. And that's the way it generally has been done. And everybody else in kind of the sports broadcast business, well, they've had their ups and downs, but ESPN apparently still hasn't gotten the memo. I don't know. Vice President there, Burke Magnus, admitted that his network made an enormous mistake in not showing the national anthem at the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans on January 2nd, because remember, that was just the following day, and the reason they postponed the Sugar Bowl and all of that was because a terror attack had taken place the previous day that killed 14 people on Bourbon Street. There's a group of people in Bristol, that's where ESPN is based out of, who just made an enormous mistake. It was a human error. It happens. I don't want to minimize it by any stretch. That's just a horrible error that was made by a group of really well-intentioned people who feel terrible about it. Magnus also cited the game's one-day delay as a scheduling factor that upset the normal flow of broadcast preparations. Nothing was normal about that next day, including our programming lineup. I could give you a whole list of reasons why it wasn't the normal circumstance. The ESPN executive also hastened to add that the decision not to air the anthem was not deliberate. The notion that it was somehow intentional or we were trying to avoid acknowledging what was a horrific situation in New Orleans was really misplaced. It was just a mistake that we feel terrible about. By the way, we should be held to account for. Our timing got fouled up. We happened to be in a commercial break when the anthem happened. It was just not good by any measuring stick and not up to our standards. The mistake was compounded by the airing of a highly divisive message from Tom Wilson, the chief executive officer of Sugar Bowl sponsor Allstate, who said Americans had an addiction to divisiveness and negativity. Wow.
That's interesting.
ESPN did air the national anthem at the Orange Bowl between Notre Dame and Penn State on January 9th. Ohio State and Notre Dame will fight it out for the national championship. That will take place Monday night. So there's a lot going on. There's NFL playoff games all weekend. At least ESPN, somebody there, they acknowledged it.
Right.
And was, fully, I think, when somebody comes out and apologizes like that and says, should be held to account.
Uh-huh.
There's something there.
As opposed to some really wimpy excuse that we get sometimes.
You mean like something Nancy Pelosi would come up with skipping out on Donald Trump's inauguration?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you hadn't heard yet?
Mm.
And again, mentioned earlier that Michelle Obama's not going to be there. And out of respect for the office of the president, she should be there. It's kind of a prerequisite, if you would. If you're willing to be the first lady, if you're willing to support your husband or whatever in the nation's highest office, that with that comes some responsibilities. And it's you don't have to acknowledge whether you like or dislike the person that is going to be sworn in as president. It really has nothing to do with that. It's respect for the office, and it shows our enemies that we have a peaceful transition of power, and even while there's divisiveness, we stand strong as one nation.
Isn't it even more noticeable, though, since she missed Carter's funeral, too?
Yeah.
It puts her in the headlines already for something that was kind of a, eh. And then this is like a, eh. So.
Well, yeah. Look, I don't think she...
She's not proud of America.
That's where I was headed.
Was it really?
Again? Yeah, I was thinking of a way to do it. Yeah. She's not a huge fan of America unless the American voters do, you know, her will or what she thinks is a good idea.
Well,
she doesn't have any respect for America otherwise. So,
no.
Why didn't she just say that? Well, I don't really respect America or Americans or really even the office for that matter. And
But I appreciate the mansions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, all that comes with it, you know, book deals, speaking engagements, whatever.
Right.
Anyway, so Kid Rock put it perfectly because he said, no, he's going to the inauguration. Huge Trump supporter, has been from the get-go. Was this your first inauguration? Jesse Waters asked him, and he said, no. In fact, I was there. I was asked to play at Barack Obama. He goes, I didn't vote for him, but out of honor to the office, you know, I went and performed and, you know, had a good time. But I did it out of respect for the office. Kid Rock gets it.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama doesn't. Very interesting. All right.
There's some irony there.
So then there's Nancy Pelosi. I mean, Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're third in line. And it's a huge responsibility and position of power. But you're also going to be disrespectful toward our government.
Yeah.
And our high offices.
This guy will be around.
Yeah, well, these are classy acts. And you know what? Go away quickly. And the sooner we're done with you, the better.
Mm-hmm.
97.3 The Sky.
This is Sky News.
For the nomination of Pam Bondi.
We have got to work together to make America safe again.
Trending stories.
Marco Rubio, the State Department.
And why they matter.
Strong America engaged in the world.
North Central Florida's news station.
A ceasefire deal has been reached between Israel and Hamas.
Our Attorney General, Ashley Moody, will serve as our next U.S. Senator.
I'm ready to show up and fight for this nation.
On air and everywhere on the Odyssey app. News Talk 97.3. The Sky.